What's up? It's Draymond Green, back for my 14th NBA season and the new season of my podcast, The Draymond Green Show. Unfiltered takes, real hoop talk, and big-time guests. There's no holding back on the court or on the mic. Follow The Draymond Green Show wherever you get your podcasts.
And Rodgers, tapping his gut, takes the snap. Rodgers, pocket collapsing. Rodgers, it's going to go down, and the ball is out. Who's got it? Rankins picks it up. He's on the move. 30, 25, 20, 15, 10, 5. Touchdown, Sheldon Rankins. Rock and roll. The big guy touchdown. The ball came out, and Sheldon, his second touchdown of the year. And what a huge one in the postseason.
You know what's funny about that play?
Mm-hmm.
The way that Sheldon Rankins yoinked that out of the pile,
yeah.
We were talking about the different things that it evoked to us. Somebody on the text line earlier in the program said he looked like a porch pirate. You know what I mean? Just someone who's like, well, I sent an Amazon package. Let me just, yep, I'm out of there. I'm out of there. But it was indicative for me watching that game. It just felt like it got easier later in the game because of the pressure.
Absolutely.
The pressure of the game. Like, the game script happens. And I wonder if that put some onus or the impetus on the offense to try and get out quickly. I know generally you want to do that. I wonder if that was what CJ felt was why he was pressing early. But, you know, if you put an opposing team against this defense in a negative game script, it just gets that much easier for them.
It's over. It's been over.
It just gets that much easier for them. It's really devastating, in fact, to watch them do that. And it was devastating to watch them take a game that was close on paper, but just continued to look like the Texans dominated. And ultimately, the score reflected it. 30-6 in favor of the Texans. Wild card round, check. And now on to the divisional round to face off against the New England Patriots. Before we do that, I want to keep looking at this game at different angles. And one of the good ways to do that is to get the OG's passing thoughts.
I'll start with that one since you brought it up. I mentioned to my wife as it
what happened. Going into the locker room.
No.
You got to stop doing that with a playoff team.
One of these days, I'll tell you. One of these days. No, I said that was like him when you go to the pumpkin patch. Oh, this is the one this is a good one right here, and you just lean down, pick up the pumpkin, and take off. So that was my.
You run away from the pumpkin patch?
Well, I don't run, but
he don't be paying. Like, that's why he looked like he'd just be stealing pumpkins at the pumpkin.
Maybe
patch.
He was. Yeah. My first passing thought was as you're watching the pregame, you know, obviously, you know, you're getting pumped up for the game and all that. I mean, this is not necessarily breaking news, but I thought ESPN and ABC they pumped up this game beautifully. Like the whole pregame show, the buildup, you know, the Ted Nugent stranglehold that they were playing, you know, the anthem was played, the pregame show. This was just, if you weren't amped before, just watching that pregame show was going to get you amped up.
And you definitely were amped up when you saw the Monday Night Countdown crew go 4-1 in favor of the Steelers picking this game. The only one, shout out to Marcus Spears, Swagoo, picking the Texans. And I guess maybe, possibly, you could give a level of pass to Ryan Clark because that's the team he played for, and so he was just going to do that.
Yeah.
The rest of y'all, what excuse did you have?
Yeah, well. Never lost on Monday night.
Like, there was just a lot of, well, you know,
yeah.
I know Brewski he ends up being a hater of sorts, but there's a lot of, actually, Brewski wasn't even on that. Let me make sure I get my notes, because I wrote it down. I was like, ain't no way that y'all got five people out here picking against the Texans in this way. Let's see. Stephen A. Smith, gross. Jason Kelsey.
That's right.
Picking against them.
Yeah.
And Scott Van Pelt all picking Pitt. And I'm like, what is wrong with y'all? What have y'all seen that gives you the confidence to do this? I hope they feel dumb right now.
Yeah. All right, another passing thought here. And we've talked about C.J. Stroud and is he in his head or whatever. This was my first one kind of late in the first quarter where I really thought, as overwhelming as the Texans ultimately wound up being defensively, just dominating, we know what happened, I thought the whole team looked a little tight. I thought, and let me give you some examples.
Please.
First play of the game by the Steelers, 10-yard run. Second play of the game, second or third, by the Steelers, 17-yard completion.
That completion felt like that was a discipline thing.
Okay, maybe they were a little tight. You know what I'm saying? The Texans just came out, and then there was some pre-snap movement on the Texans' first drive. Remember that? They kind of got behind the chains. Then there was a 22-yard punt by Townsend.
Townsend was a little dicey at some points in this game. Didn't matter ultimately because field position, mm-hmm. you could put him wherever on the field. That defense was locking them boys down after a point.
Then there was Trent Brown had a little problem with T.J. Watt until he didn't. But early on, I just thought collectively, even over and above C.J. Stroud, which he looked like he was tight and kind of in his own head for a while. In fact, the majority of the game, I thought they just kind of came out a little tight. And then they settled down, it was all good.
Yeah, the first two plays, you guys even made mention of, or not the first two plays, but early on in the game, you guys texted and were like, oh, the DK, did we not give him enough credit?
Yeah.
And I thought we did, but I thought that the things early on the DK got yards on were mm-hmm. more things that we had talked about. One of those being the second play of the game, there was the quick screen. Mm-hmm. And I thought that was more, oh, these guys did not shed that block that they typically would. They ended up getting blocked on the outside, and DK just followed his blocks there. I felt like that was less about him, that Ben Skoranek. Hey, mm-hmm. what's happening, big fella?
Oh, he's good.
Then there was the pass interference, which was Kamari Lassiter oddly mm-hmm. getting got to where he turned his head early.
Yeah.
And then DK was able to, you know, continue his physical momentum forward and then get him on a penalty. I thought that the impact of DK really showed up when he was streaming down the streaks, down the seams and getting vertical that way. And really, there was one, like a corner route where he was able to drag Kamari Lassiter deep and they had a pass underneath there. I thought that those were really the bigger things with DK Metcalf. Otherwise, I thought that they did phenomenal, especially Kamari Lassiter sticking with him, using a little bit of Wiley veteran type things to cover there.
No, they obviously and emphatically answered the call and answered the bell. I just feel like, and understandable, by the way, because we've mentioned this. This was the first game, playoff game, the Texans were expected to win. You know, the first one they were favored in.
Yeah, that's true.
So I thought maybe just a little tight, but boy, did they answer it.
And some of it also was I thought that, yeah, it might be tightness. Mm-hmm. We did need to give the Steelers offensive line a little bit of credit, mm-hmm. And then we will take it away very soon. Don't worry. that is actually a nice young offensive line that's going to, you know, they probably have the first three guys on that offensive line to mm-hmm. make a good offensive line as they continue to iterate in a similar way, I guess, or maybe not similar, but in a way that you would kind of hope the Texans are offensively, where you mm-hmm. go, there's a few guys that you have that you look forward to adding more to and making something really nice. And then you just absolutely blew them up mm-hmm. pass rushing when these guys were pinning their ears back. Because my goodness, Sheldon Rankins.
Oh, man.
He flattened them. He cartoon flattened the left guard, Seumalo, right? Like, he just flattened them.
Well, let me jump ahead to another passing thought, because that's one of them that I had a little later. I thought even if he didn't score a touchdown, that Sheldon Rankins was probably one of the biggest, sort of under the radar defensive stars of this game. It wasn't just a touchdown. He had a ball game, like play after play after play. The running backs were seeing ghosts out there, man. They couldn't get any traction.
Yeah, mm-hmm. I almost felt for Jaylen Warren and Kenny mm-hmm. Gainwell, although Kenny Gainwell is dead to me because he dropped that one pass that would have gotten that would have gotten decisions mm-hmm. to be correct in various instances. But no, man, those guys, them, Jonnu Smith, was it Austin? I thought all of them had mm-hmm. to be sick at just how responsive mm-hmm. the defense is to play short in the flats. There were some hits, including, did you see Azeez Alshire absolutely flatten somebody in the middle of the field? In the kill zone, as they call it?
Yes.
I thought he might have actually died.
Yeah.
What's up? It's Draymond Green. I'm back for my 14th NBA season, and my podcast, The Draymond Green Show, is back too. This season, I'm breaking down games, reacting to the biggest NBA stories, and sitting down with teammates, rivals, and culture shapers. And trust me, I'm not holding back, on the court or on the mic. Two new episodes every week, new segments, big conversations, real basketball talk for the real hoop heads. Listen to and follow The Draymond Green Show wherever you get your podcasts. We're back. We're better. Let's get it.
Another one, and this is more than just a passing thought, but I do want to point out this. There's more than just a Nico injury that could come into play going into New England. Nico is a big one, and as I pointed out, and some listeners sort of said they saw the same thing or confirmed, however you want to put it, he had a little bit of a hit that looked a little suspicious earlier in the first quarter. When he went to the tent, then came back out, went back on the field. But then Jalen Reed, man, Jalen Reed was, I mean, injured on the fourth play of the game. We'll see how that plays out over the course of the week.
He did return to the game, though.
Yeah.
And so that was encouraging. Mm-hmm. And he played well, although I don't recall very much testing. I guess I need to go through the All-22 mm-hmm. a little bit more thoroughly to see how he held up. But, I mean, yeah. the trust that they had in him continues to be validated. He came up and hit as well, mm-hmm. which was, I mean, there was one of those plays where they were playing umbrella defense and everybody was just back at the sticks
yeah.
on like a, you know, third and mm-hmm. 14 or something like that. He rallies, I think it might have been third and 17. He rallies up and he comes up and makes a tackle, pure form tackle. And I was like, all right, good, because that's yeah. that is exactly what you need from that position, somebody who's going to be able to thump as well.
Hopefully there's a lot more to come, but I thought that this one game and what he did and how important he was made the Christian Kirk acquisition worth it. No matter what he did in the regular season, it was worth it just because of what he did yesterday.
Yeah, 100%. Especially because 100%. You have not gotten that production from the slot.
Yeah.
It's one of the things that's been deeply frustrating mm-hmm. Is not being able to get the production from the slot, whether, you know, the continual usage of Christian Kirk and then the lack of usage to some way of Jalen Noel. You got production, but on top of that, it felt like you got the veteran type production mm-hmm. that I had been hoping for when you got a Christian Kirk. That I felt like I was sold, the bill of goods that I felt like I was sold. You mm-hmm. saw him use his savvy yeah. in instances, even in times where I, you know, oh, there's a block. I don't know if it's a great block, but mm-hmm. he does a good job of just kind of using a veteran wide receiver savvy to where that's not a great block, but it does enough mm-hmm. to turn your defender and create a little bit of a seal yeah. so the guy who's running can get an advantage there. I thought that this was encouraging, especially because of mm-hmm. the Nico Collins, you know, concussion. If he is not there, Jaden Higgins is going to have to slide over and be that kind of X receiver. And we saw the difference yeah. between him and Nico, even if just slightly, when, you know, he runs a go mm-hmm. and CJ throws a back shoulder to him that Nico Collins absolutely contorts himself to get.
Yeah.
Jaden Higgins doesn't even really see it coming and does mm-hmm. not, he's not able to react quick enough.
Yeah.
I think that is where you're going to need another, maybe not exactly, hey, Christian Kirk, come out and put up a yeah. Franchise record receiving performance again.
145 yards.
Yeah, this time. But you're going to need him to be somebody yes. that you can depend on to get the ball to, especially because, I'm sorry that I'm now taking over no. passing thoughts. Dalton Schultz kind of conspicuously had his targets.
Anonymous. Not absent because he had a lot of snaps, but just sort of anonymous.
Yeah.
Not a big factor.
Yeah, it did not seem to factor in.
I actually
in.
Had him on there as well. Just it was just curious.
And those are your yeah. those are your two biggest targets for C.J. Stroud yeah. in this offense all season long, Nico and Dalton Schultz. And one got injured in this game, and one of them, I wonder if the injuries impacted it,
yeah.
but he was not very involved in what the offense was doing in this game.
All right, I got a two-part passing thought for you here. Forget what you feel about whether the play would have worked, that flea flicker or whatever. Just set that aside. I just wish, this is part one, I could have listened in on the conversation between D'Amico Ryans and Nick Caley after the ill-fated flea flicker play. Because, yeah, he was open, but it was slow developing. Forget you know, the validity of the play. I just wish I could have heard, because, this is part two, it was no coincidence that on the very ensuing drive, Woody Marks, 8, 92 yards, 14 plays, right down their throats. And that established the tone for the entire rest of the game.
Without question. You know that I take my notes and I color code them.
Mm-hmm.
So the color for good offensive play is light blue. Mm-hmm. Don't ask me why. It just works out that way.
Yeah.
I will now show you Houston's third drive here. Tell me what you see.
It's all blue.
Dude, they were just so yeah, good on yeah, that drive, and yeah. it's play after play. It's CJ hitting the top of his drop, getting forward, hitting Dalton Schultz on a sit-down. Cool. That one, and then you end up with an inside zone. Great, great feat by Nick Chubb on that play. You get mm-hmm. the single back. Great pace by Nick Chubb on that yeah. play, and obviously good punch up front, and then a really good, mind you, pancake block by Cade Stover mm-hmm. on TJ Watt as well in there. Mm-hmm. A play that I loved. This one legitimately made me sit up in my seat
mm-hmm.
after middle run, and you're beating them. Nick Caley goes, here's Woody Marks stretching to the outside yes. and hitting the corner for 20-some yards. Mm-hmm. Like, I was like, oh, this is beautiful.
And that came right after the flea flicker.
Oh, it was beautiful. It was gorgeous. And like we said, I thought that Nick Caley did a great job, and it probably D'Amico had some yeah. factor in this.
Run the damn ball.
Hey, you know what's effective?
Don't get cute.
What? The Marshawn Lynch school of hit them over yes. and over and yes. over again. And they just did that to the tune of a touchdown, and yeah. the touchdown that put them up for the game mm-hmm. at that point. Like, you could actually say the offense won the game there. Now, it'd be missing a lot of context.
We didn't know what was going to happen.
But, yeah.
Speaking of, we didn't know what was going to happen, another one for you here. How do we feel about D'Amico's game management and timeout use again?
I felt like Troy Aikman. Troy Aikman was on the broadcast every timeout, like, ooh, this is a little early. Mm-hmm. I don't think that they should do this. And that's one thing I love about Troy Aikman. I'm kind of excited that he will again be on the call next weekend for the Texans. He is one of the best at being an analyst on these games mm-hmm. because he is not afraid at all to give his true unvarnished opinions in a way that I think some people are trying to be nice mm-hmm. or some people are afraid to give it. He's like, no, I thought that was, you know, bad timeout usage here.
It was. And I made note of it. There was 41 seconds left when they had a completion. I forget to who. And one timeout left. That's textbook. Run up, clock it.
That was the completion to, oh no, that was after the deep pass. It was a quick ball to Kate Stover.
Yes. So run up, clock it. You still have your timeout. Instead, they called the timeout.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm like, okay, now the middle of the field is eliminated.
Deep shot.
You know?
Deep shot well to Noel that he couldn't bring in. Then mm-hmm. that doesn't happen. And then here comes a slant.
Mm-hmm.
Timeout. Yeah. You know, just that's the thing that got frustrating is that there are other ways to stop the clock, and it felt like they couldn't employ it. And it's been a long-term thing also, not just the calling of the timeouts or the mismanagement of time. It never feels like Nick Caley can put in two plays.
I don't know. I don't know if he does or he doesn't, but I think in that particular case, it's textbook. Over 30 seconds, and it's reasonable enough, get up there, clock it, and you save a timeout.
Yeah, that was an odd way of handling that.
Yeah.
It feels like, you know, and I know it's not easy to be like, hey, this play, and then if it works, run mm-hmm. this play then after it.
Yeah.
But that feels like that's entirely not an option, as opposed to every once in a while, you might need to be able to call two plays in at once mm-hmm. or, you know, be able to get a second play in quickly. It doesn't feel like they do that. It feels like it very much every play is the same process. We call the play, we watch the outcome, and then we formulate what the next play is. And I understand wanting to do that, but there's some instances where you need to be able to be a little malleable, I think.
One more, because it must be said. Kyahmi Fairbairn, money. Now, I know there was the flubber.
The worm burner at the end. Yeah. The 51-yarder was nice.
Yeah.
You needed that one at that moment.
In that stadium, and with that, by the way, that was another one I didn't get to. That turf caught a couple of victims there.
Without question. That was one of the reasons why Nico Collins or CJ misses Nico Collins mm-hmm. on a comeback route that I think he actually placed the ball pretty damn well.
Right.
But Nico Collins at the break, he slips. And he slips in the way of, it looked like he was playing golf. Mm-hmm. You saw a divot come out of the turf up into the air. Thank God that you're not playing there. Do we have anything to worry about in Foxborough at Gillette Stadium? It's not notoriously bad like Pittsburgh, but it is turf outdoors in the cold.
I haven't checked the weather yet.
All right. Okay. Before you get a chance to do that, we're just going to end this segment right here.
We're not checking the weather.
Don't check the weather.
Always check the weather.
How dare you, in the middle of a show, check the weather on me. You sick son of a... All right, you're in the loop.
Doing that as we speak.
You're in the loop
right here.
Weather
report next.
Hey, make sure you hold your nose when you say this. Hold your nose.
Oh, my goodness.
I'm here for the weather report.
Oh, okay.
Go ahead.
What are we doing?
Thank you. All right, coming up next, let's do our lunchtime confessions. You're in the loop.
What's up? It's Draymond Green, back for my 14th NBA season and the new season of my podcast, The Draymond Green Show. Unfiltered takes, real hoop talk, and big-time guests. There's no holding back on the court or on the mic. Follow The Draymond Green Show wherever you get your podcasts.